Hey, my friend, thanks for listening in to the Purpose Mastermind podcast today. If you're new to us, I'll just give you a quick thought about what we're about. We're about real information, real stories for real people who want to live a real life, an authentic life, living on purpose, actually targeting the lives we were made for and living it out boldly. So today I have a special guest for you. It's a very special guest to me, because you're going to listen to a conversation that I'm going to have with my mom. About 2 months ago, I received an interesting package in the mail, and I opened it, and what it was some writings from my mom. These writings, I think, were from around 1990, if I recall. It was from many years ago, and as I read, I was blown away because I felt like I was reading my own writings. As some of you know, I finished a book last year that was published called One Step to Freedom. But as I read my mom's writings from years ago, I thought, oh my goodness, now I know where I have this writing bug. It's from my mom. So my mom is getting a book published, and by the time you listen to this podcast, it'll be published. It's called A Penny for Your Thoughts. And so we're here to have a conversation today about this book. And so, Mom, thanks for joining me for this. How does it feel to have this book, A Penny for Your Thoughts, published?
It feels really wonderful because I wrote this many years ago, and in my own way, I published it in a little booklet. But I always wanted to have it in a real book that could be online and people could buy it because I knew it would help somebody. I knew that for sure because those thoughts helped me.
Yeah. And so all these thoughts in the book are your original thoughts.
Right.
Okay. So give
Actually,
us, go ahead.
I went through a time. Actually, see, when I was growing up, I lived in Hershey, Pennsylvania, as a little girl. And I was growing up, I was surrounded by tons of relatives and friends. And everybody seemed to respect each other. And it was just, I remember even in high school, we had wonderful Christian friends. And college, I had the best roommates you could ever hope for. And then I got married, started having a family. But then everything, I felt like I was in a dark hole somewhere because all of a sudden I was in a different world. Up till then, it was like this wonderful world that I'm living in. And then all of a sudden, it was an awful world. It felt dark. I felt I was around people who devalued me and disrespected me, and I did not know what to do at all. And I just was in this dark hole. So, the way these thoughts happened, I'll tell you, I was so bad that finally one day I went to talk to somebody that I knew I could trust, and I explained my situation, and that person said to me, "Other people can do to you only what you allow." And
Wow.
when he said those words, I went to sit in that chair forever. It was that like all of a sudden a light bulb went on. And all of a sudden, all those dark thoughts just left me because the person who would most devalued me, all of a sudden, it was really dissolved like a snowman would melt on a hot day.
Wow.
And my perspective began to change. That's where it started.
How hard was it in that season of your life to find someone to talk to that you could trust?
Well, it was very hard because my husband is church work. You don't go to a church person and say, "Here, I'm having trouble. People in church aren't treating me very well." You just can't do that.
Yeah.
So, that there was one person in that church that I knew I could trust. It was, and I'll never forget that day. In fact, you and Dad left that day to go to Chicago to some kind of a conference.
Huh.
And because my husband always said, "Don't you talk to anybody at church," and I said, when you left, I got in the car and I went right to that person's house. That's what I did. And that was the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Wow.
Because that started me back on the right track.
I'm curious, have you ever told that person how important that day was?
I have, yes, and I spent a lot of time, even after that, we talked a lot.
That's
And
great.
yes, I kept in communication. That person was very insightful. And, you know, I knew that person would not do the wrong thing with what I shared with them. That's the main thing. I felt so safe. I could do that. And so we spent a lot of time talking, and we were very good friends.
That is unbelievable. I think the story you just told, it chills me because I think so many people, this is the storyline of their life, is that they were living the life and it was like, oh, the life is good and I'm good and people are good and there's good things to do. And all of a sudden, life drifts us into this place of such confusion and despair. And then when we get there, it feels like there's no hope and no help. I think that's fascinating. I was just talking last week, Adina and I were talking to this woman, and she's now probably middle-aged, but she described a time in her life after she had her first baby. She went into a dark time of depression, and she said, I would go to church and I saw everyone else, and everyone else seemed so happy. And I couldn't figure out why I wasn't. And I was trying everything. And she said, I never told anybody. I could never tell anybody. So that's fascinating to me. So to help people who are going through something like that is why you wrote this book. Is that right?
Exactly. And, you know, that night, I'll never forget that night. It was a blue recliner chair I was sitting in, and I just never wanted to get up off of that chair. But anyway, the reason for these thoughts, they gave me a book also called Boundaries.
Uh-huh.
And I started reading that, and that got me started thinking about a lot of things. Because, see, the way he said it, like, that person was no, like, was a giant person I could not get around, or it was so horrible. And I didn't want to not like that person, but I didn't know what to
Yeah.
do because, you know, when we were growing up, you respected people, you got along with people.
Yeah.
And this kind of person I was not used to, and I didn't know what to do. Anyway,
yeah.
I started reading about boundaries, and it was like I was at the bottom of a mountain that I had to climb. I knew I was... You know, how do you climb this mountain? You know what I did? I journaled my way up the mountain.
Oh.
I wrote and wrote every day. I wrote my feelings and what I was going through. And then it was after that, a lot of that time passed, I went through all those notes and sifted out the main thoughts that helped me, the ones that just jumped off the page that helped me the most. And I just wrote them all down. And it was a great experience. I mean, each one of those thoughts was like this result of several pages of writing.
Wow.
And like I said, I journaled my way up the mountain. And I'm still journaling, not journaling so much. I'm still going up the mountain.
Yeah, that is profound. So you sent me some quotes that I've read in your book, and I would like to pick your brain and have you expand on them. So this one, others can do to you only what you allow. That's one of your thoughts in the book. Can
That's
you
the
expand
main
on that?
one.
That's the main one. Okay. Unpack that.
That's
more.
Where it all started, yes.
So that was when you sat down with someone and you told them what life felt like to you, that was the first
Right.
thing they said to you?
Yes, that just came right out of his mouth, and I hadn't been there couple of minutes. And that he just said that. And I just sat there. I just couldn't believe how I felt. It was like all of a sudden the problem was like, oh, like a little ant instead of a big giant something or another. All in an instant of time.
That's amazing. Here's another thought that you wrote in your book. You will regret that you ever spent time around people who consider you less than themselves.
Oh, that's, you think you're humble if you put up with stuff. I mean, that's not right. I always thought you don't want to make people mad and you want to respect people. And it's like a humility, I guess. You think you're being humble and a Christian and respectful, but you know that person's destroying you all the while you're respecting them, and they're devaluing you. So what sense does that make?
Yeah.
But that's what happens.
Yeah.
It just and you don't need to spend time around them. Why would you? But you just feel like, oh, you got to respect everybody, and then in turn, they're not respecting you, and they're dragging you down. So that's, wow, just...
Well, and I can certainly see where, if you look at a church relationship where you were, your husband's the pastor of a church, and you feel like you have to respect everybody.
Exactly.
It's your role. It's your...
Exactly.
Your Christian duty. But the reality
exactly.
is... There's people inside of every organization and certainly every church.
Sure.
They're not always nice people.
Right, right.
And so to feel trapped. So let me ask you this, because I think there's another place where people can feel trapped in a relationship, and that is with family.
Right.
I think that, I think without a doubt, within family, there are people that, at different times, don't value you as you should be valued. And it's really difficult to stand up for yourself when you feel like you're supposed to only love and support your family.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to have boundaries with their family.
Exactly. That is so true. And that's so hard. And a situation you're in, you're always growing and learning and climbing that mountain. You keep doing it and you learn as you go, but you got to be careful to not get, let yourself be devalued no matter where you are.
Yeah. You know, this is a side note, Mom. This is just your son talking to you in front of whoever else is listening to this recording. But I want to ask you this question. You, to me, you have always had such a sweet spirit. How did you stay sweet through the journey?
Well, you know, you don't want to not be sweet and understanding. You can't stand not being that way. It's just horrible.
Yeah.
And so when you have all this other going on around you, you feel overwhelmed with all this stuff, like bad stuff, and trying to always climb out, trying to survive somehow.
Yeah. You know, it's very interesting in the work that Adina and I do. There's a lot of family situations we get into. And one thing I notice is that when people are in pain, it's pretty common that they take it out on their kids.
Yeah.
In different forms, trying to control their kids or...
Right.
I would just say this, hearing that time in your life, it really, as a son, I got to say this to you. I never felt like you took any of your life frustrations out on me or my siblings. And that's pretty incredible.
Well, that makes me, I am so glad about that.
I never
I
felt,
cannot, yeah.
I've never been in a meeting, and don't get me wrong, all parents are imperfect, but I've never had a conversation in my life with anyone where I had to say, you know, my mom confused me. Or my mom tried to control me. I have never in my life ever had a conversation with anyone about any kind of negative effect you have had on my life.
Oh, well, I'm so happy about that, really.
You have only been a positive influence. And frankly, of course, this is true of everybody that has a great mom. You've influenced my life in ways that I could never comprehend or see. And certainly when I read your writing that you sent me in the mail 3 months ago and I read it, I was like, oh my, I'm not a good writer. I just received a gift from my mom. And so here's another thought that you wrote in your book. Humility of spirit without a balanced respect for your own identity and uniqueness as a person can destroy you.
That is so true. You know, say you're out in the street and get run over or somewhere. I mean, if you get run over by a person and then you feel like you have to apologize to them for being in their way, that is pretty sad. But it's that way with life. I mean, you want to respect everybody. If they run over you, oh well, that's all right.
I
I
was
mean, just
standing in the
dust
wrong
yourself off,
place.
and then you apologize. You feel like you have to apologize to them that you were in their way, and it's horrible to feel that way. But that's what happens, and so you really got to be awake all the time and not allow yourself to feel that, because you know what? When I was going through that, one thing that people always say, well, you must have unforgiveness in your heart or something, to feel that bad. And I struggled with that. Like, I read books on unforgiveness. What haven't I forgiven, And but that wasn't the problem. It was like damaged emotions from all those things you get being around people who devalue you and make you feel like you need to apologize to them. You don't have any for unforgiveness in your heart at all. It's just a matter of got damaged emotions, and so if you respect people and you don't have boundaries in your life, that's bad. In other words, I can respect some evil person. I mean,
That
if you don't
is.
have boundaries, if you don't have boundaries, and you're just trying to live and be respectful, you're going to be respecting people that don't respect you. So you got to not be that way, not live without boundaries. That's terrible. And I guess the main thing that helped me was the whole thought of boundaries. So that's the main thing.
Do you have, so in your life now, you probably are, as much as you can, you probably have people around your life that you want around your life.
Right.
Would that be
Exactly.
the case? So do you have
And
any?
not altogether, because we're still in church work, and you still have to you sort of watch your life and stay on top, stay on top of the game.
I like the example you gave of someone running you over. The world that we live in, you can be on the sidewalk walking down the street,
Right.
and someone else is being reckless, and they pull onto the sidewalk and run into you metaphorically, and then they can be bothered because their bumper has a dent in it.
Right.
And not even see that their vehicle was on the sidewalk.
Right. Exactly.
Then the person
Yeah,
who was.
it's a matter of trust. Invading other people's lives, trespassing. When we were growing up, we didn't trespass each other. We didn't do that.
That's interesting. So your life growing up and in college. You had pretty much nothing but good relationships.
Oh, that I don't have a bad memory till I got married and started having kids, and it wasn't my, I'm not because of my kids. had nothing to do because I have great memories of my kids. I mean, that talk about the best people in my life is my kids, see?
Yeah.
But that whole my whole life was like, this is a wonderful world. Oh my gosh, this isn't going to work. And so I had to learn to navigate my life. And one thing I like to think about, you can either let life happen or make life happen.
Huh.
So that's what we need to not just allow life to happen. We need to make life happen,
Yeah.
be in charge of our lives, or somebody else will if we don't.
Yeah. No,
That's what I found out.
it's really good. I was talking to some young men last night, a group of Christian men, and I asked them, right, you just waiting around for God to do something? Or do you feel like God's giving you something to do? Like, let's go do something with our life.
And don't sit around and wait for life. Just wait for things to happen. You have thoughts that come to you and you don't follow through because you're just sort of waiting for it to happen on its own. It's not going to do that. You got to make life happen and take
Yeah.
the initiative with your thoughts and the instincts that you have, the thoughts that you want to do something.
Yeah, you just
Which I
do
feel good about this book. And so I thought, well, I'm making life happen in a way.
it.
And,
I love that.
but
I love
each
that.
of those thoughts in that book was a main thought, and they were like a diamond.
Well,
There was like a story behind each thought, you know?
Well, to all of you
So I'm so
listeners out
happy.
there, to everyone hearing this conversation, the book is A Penny for Your Thoughts, and you can find it on Amazon and other places. But we'll finish with this thought that we began with, this thought that my mom shared that someone told her, others can do to you only what you allow. Relationships are so important, and I think that the design of God is that we have powerful relationships. But what can happen in life is relationships can be powerful to the negative. And when relationships get powerful to the negative, it can be really hard to dig out of that hole. And so, a penny for your thoughts can help people climb the mountain to get back to the life they were made for. So, Mom, thank you for joining for this episode. I think this is going to help people. I know your book is going to help people. And I look forward to ordering my own copy on Amazon. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to share before we close up?
Oh, I'm just so glad that you listened to what we had to say, and I hope that it helps somebody out there, and I'm sure it will. Thank you.
It definitely will. Okay, listeners, thank you for listening in. If this podcast is helpful to you and you would like to pass it on to someone, please feel free to do that. We need all the help that we can get. Our mission is very simple. We want to help people know their purpose and live their best bold life. So until next time, remember this: your life has a purpose. You can know your purpose, and you can be set free from anything that's holding you back from living it out boldly. Now go take on the day.